just might be one of the biggest slip-up spoilers ever sent by an actor in the lead of a movie. Or it could be a complete and total nothing burger. And there is no in-between. Pedro Pascal may have squealed on one of the biggest secrets for the Mandalorian movie. Or is it all a ploy to try to drive audiences coyly back to the theaters as they coldly say no and box office projections fall off a cliff? Will Luke be there? Will Leia? Will Han? And what are they talking about with these huts again? Are they going on about the slugs? Well, we've got answers, folks. We'll tell you if Pedro had a major slip-up or if it's a trip-up of audiences trying to trick you to go see Star Wars yet again. Straw man? Maybe. Click the like button and we'll make everything unhazy right now. All right, folks, Pedro Peepaw Pascal, the internet's daddy, may have just slipped up in a way that Lucasfilm is going to be mad at him. What is it? Well, get ready. I'll show you the pivot point right now from the Digital Spy by Devious Sony. Quote, have you said too much? Pedro Pascal dropped Star Wars spoiler ahead of The Mandalorian and Grogu. Should have just called him Baby Yoda. It's such a dumb name, Grogu. Anyway, Pedro Pascal has seemingly dropped a Star Wars spoiler. Ahead of The Mandalorian and Grogu, the actor is set to appear as the former half of the titular duo in the upcoming movie. It's a continuation of the hit Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian, set after the fall of the Galactic Empire. Folks, if you don't know yet, come on, okay? We got it. Get to it, story. Appearing on The One Show, Pascal addressed rumors that an iconic Star Wars family would be making a return when The Mandalorian and Grogu hits our screens later this month. And then the pivot happens. So here's the quote, folks, after he says, yes, there will be an iconic Star Wars family returning. He says, yes, they do. Oh, we talking about the huts? He replied when asked about the alien species. And then he goes on and says, yeah, for someone my age, Return of the Jedi was probably the movie that I got most excited ever to have finally gotten tickets for, which is where Jabba the Hutt made his first appearance in the first act of the movie. It's this terrifying creature, and yet at the same time, you're fascinated by him, and it's a wonderful imprint. He says, I think it's so brilliant and original that John Favreau, that is, and Dave are bringing them to the, maybe making them central characters. The actor then looks slightly uncertain about his revelation, with presenter Alex Jones asking, have you said too much? But if he did make an on-screen blunder, Pascal managed to style it out, laughing as he replied, you never know in Star Wars land. Now, we can't play this with folks for copyright reasons, but we're reading it to you. And the key here is this point where he's asked about, is an iconic Star Wars family returning? And he says, yes, they do, and then switches to the huts. Here's where I find some difficulty on this one. I don't know that I would ever consider the huts to be an iconic Star Wars family. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Wiz, what do you think? Is Pedro slipping up here and saying that an iconic family that we would consider an iconic family is in Star Wars and fixed it? Or do you think the whole time he thought, iconic Star Wars family? Yeah, those darn huts, man. They're just they're La Familia Hut.
Oh, all I was going to say is there's a sitcom I'd watch. Those darn huts.
It was worth it.
Hey, don't give them any ideas, Luke. They might do it. They're a little desperate right now. And I think he's going to say whatever he thinks he needs to say to sell this movie or drum up even the tiniest shred of interest.
Oh, wait. That's a great point. Wiz, are you saying that they're going to say iconic family just because then we... There, it puts that 1% in people's minds of, oh, Luke Leia Han might be there. Gotta go see it.
It's possible. We saw it today for the first time. I didn't know this. I don't know if you guys know this. There is a Mandalorian and Grogu Bath and Body Works line. There is yes. There is a Mandalorian and Grogu cologne set. They're each, one Grogu, one Mando, each of them $65.
No.
So they're clearly there's Build-A-Bear. You go into your shopping mall and you're going to find every store has something Mandalorian and Grogu. They're going to say whatever they got to say to get butts in seats because that's how desperate they are right now.
I want to know if the Mando odor is with or without the armor having been on for hours.
We got a force flow candle
here. We got Bounty Hunter. Looks very, very masculine. Force flow body spray. Let's see. What else we got? Oh, look at that. You're right. It's a Grogu and Mandalorian pocket back holder. I don't even know what that is.
Keep going. There's more.
Oh, my. Look at all the stuff you can get at Bath & Body Works. Which we're not sponsored by here on this channel.
It's but like okay, it's Bath and Body Works. It's okay. Okay, it's also Build-A-Bear. It's also Target. It's also Burger King.
Wait. One of them was listed already as a top seller. At this point, this plus stuff's been available for how long? A day or two? We sold three of these, so this is a top seller.
Actually, this really gives us something in terms of like who's buying the stuff. Top seller is Grogu Force Flow Ultimate Hydration Body Cream.
That's right.
Are women really going to Bath and Body Works and being like, man, I got to get me some of that Grogu Hydration Body Cream?
Good news is it makes you moist. The bad news is it turns it green.
They pay extra for that.
All right. So let's talk about this other aspect. Life. So, you know, the Hut thing came out. Maybe this is, maybe it's real. Maybe Pedro's talking about an iconic Star Wars family, the Hutts. But this clip came out and I don't sense that people like it. I think I can get away with 4 seconds of this. Where should we aim, guys?
I actually think you can watch this. Disney has been pretty lenient with this because, again, they're desperate for people to go see this movie.
Now, Wiz, here's the deal, folks. Wiz has protected this channel in ways seen and unseen. Wiz has been behind the scenes for years, I have found out. He doesn't even know I know this, but Wiz has been back there helping us way back in time before we ever knew a fake wizard even existed. So, Wiz, I'm going to take what you say.
Jump to the last 15 seconds and start from there. That's all you really need.
Last 15 seconds. Let's go with 40, 38. Okay. Everybody ready?
Here.
All right. Here we go, folks. Here is the Hutts. The Hutts clip from Mando and Grogu. Here's what you can expect from modern Star Wars.
But if you all die...
It will bring us ecstasy to watch your strong spirit break.
Boy, is that exciting.
That was welcome to
emojis.
All right. Well, space.
You notice they didn't have any Hut moisturizer on that list, did they?
They really should.
Don't you want skin like that, Lady Desiree? No, I don't think so.
I can't imagine the smell would be very good either, the scent.
Lauren, I have no idea, as the Star Wars guru, I have literally no idea what you think about this. I don't know if you're pleased, displeased. I don't know if you have lore out of this. But the Hutts are apparently a big thing in The Mandalorian and Grogu, like a really, really big thing. Lauren, your thoughts on what you just saw, and I'm sure you've seen the entire clip. What do you think?
So, do you remember these Hutts being seen before?
In a cartoon, I believe. Is that right?
No, they were actually in the Book of Boba Fett. Right. So they do have a history with Boba Fett and the Mandalorian. They made a claim on Jabba's palace and his territory that Boba Fett was trying to horn in on. But then they came to realize that the Pikes were trying to lay claim to the entire Mos Espa territory, so they backed off on their claim. So they are relatives of Jabba. They are his cousins. And they went back to Nal Hutta, which is going to be a major location in the movie. That's why they're being positioned as a major family. They have only appeared in the Book of Boba Fett before, so they don't have a long history here. But they are tied to an important family, and they do have history with the Mandalorians.
So now, wait a minute. Are you suggesting then that when we hear iconic family, that Disney intentionally is referring to these and not to the family that most people would think iconic Star Wars family?
No, in this case, I think Fake Wizard is absolutely right. He gave the best possible answer because it allows him to be playful. He gets to make a joke, and the audience can interpret it however they want. If that family does appear, then so much the better. But if they don't, he can laugh it off and say, look, I was just making a joke about these guys. And as you said, it drives additional interest in the movie and might get some more butts in seats. He gave the exact right answer if what you're trying to do is market the movie.
I'm feeling confident. Let's play some more.
Steal priceless on the black market.
But what even more is knowing we...
Okay, so here's going to be my critique of it, and you all tell me if I'm being too mean. And anybody on the panel, hop in on this. I miss the puppets. I don't think this looks great. I think this kind of looks like a PlayStation game. It comes across as something you would see in a Star Wars video game. I just, the feeling of actual physical props, I think, is missing here. And I also, I don't understand why the huts, and I'm not steeped in the lore. I'm not a Star Wars nerd. I didn't read every book. I'm just a guy who remembers what Jabba sounds like, and these sound like more effeminate English-speaking, you know, slug things. And I don't like it. I want Misa one hoko toko, ha, 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 ha. That's what I want from my huts.
Are these the gayest huts ever?
Oh, that's a great line. Andy, what do you think? You're a guy who builds a lot of stuff. Are we missing something with the CGI here?
Yeah, there were six people operating the Jabba puppet, and somehow they still managed to give it personality and expressions and a feel for its actual being. This is just they look like more about Bill Paxton in Weird Science than they do Hutts. And Hutts, since when did Hutts speak English? Like the part of the whole mystique of the Hutts is they had their own language, and you had to read the subtitles because, you know, they're aliens and they should be alien, and it shouldn't just be so easy for you to read the to listen to it rather than read the subtitles. It should have a more unearthly feel to it, to give it that it's almost like if you ever watched The Third Man, old Orson Welles movie, there's a lot in there where they're speaking German and a couple other languages in Austria and stuff, and it adds to the isolationist feeling that of the audience, because you don't understand what's going on. You're kind of like lost in there, just like the American is in the film, and it adds something to that. And Lucas got that. Lucas understood when he was making like the cantina scene, and you had, you know, different languages. You had the Jawas just kind of like making their little sounds and things, and the droids had their own language. I think when you just bland it down, you dumb this stuff down to such a point where it doesn't resemble Star Wars. And I think that's the whole problem with it. We've been saying for the longest time is that they don't get Star Wars, and that's why it doesn't feel like Star Wars, because they don't get Star Wars.
So I am going to point something out here that is a lore thing, just because that's what I'm here to do. Most Hutts can speak Basic. Most of the time, they don't do so because it's an arrogance thing. They like to put the people that they're dealing with on the back foot. Now, we know that the Mandalorian can speak Huttese, so there is that element where it might not make sense for them to be speaking Basic here if they know that he can speak it. But I'd also note that I'm not seeing any protocol droid on that dais, and there may be other people in the audience. So I think there's an explainable reason for why they may not be, or why they are speaking Basic and not Huttese here. And especially because in the Book of Boba Fett, they did speak Huttese and it was subtitled. So I suspect there probably is a reason. We just don't know it yet.
I also think, if I may, I think this is marketing. Because they know you're not going to read the subtitles. I think in the actual film, they will be speaking Huttese, and I hope I'm right. They'll be speaking Huttese in the film, and it'll be subtitled. This is just a marketing clip.
What do you guys think on that? I don't know. I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought that they would put it in English or in normal human language in the promos and then switch it in the movie. Yeah. Which is like a programming language, I had thought. But okay, I'm in Star Wars now. I'm with you guys. Okay, so Lady Desiree, they're trying to market this to people who are not traditional Star Wars people. They're telling us, too, that, hey, there's the family that might show up. Who knows? Maybe it's the Hutts. But I want to show this to you. And Lady Desiree, have you seen this yet?
No.
Okay, you're going to love it. This is the Lucasfilm marketing team's effort to get people to go see The Mandalorian and Grogu. I'm going to play it for you. And then these guys, they're not going to slam it. They're not going to praise it. I want you as a woman, as a lady, as the singular person who can help us see the light on the panel. We need to know, because we're dudes who we used to go see Star Wars, and this doesn't do it for us. Oh, I've given it away. I need to know if this, if you think this is something that's working for Disney or not. Here, we'll play it and you see what you think.
Star Wars fans, you're not going to want to miss this in IMAX.
We just saw the preview for Mandalorian and Grogu. I have not been this excited in a long, long time.
It was incredible to see Star Wars back on the big screen.
And there's no other way to watch it, no better way to see it.
It felt like being 11 in the theater with my dad.
And it also just reminds you why you fell in love with Star Wars in the first place.
You will be oohing and aahing at the action, at the duo, and most importantly, at Grogu.
And it just never stopped. Everything about it was so much fun.
It's truly a Star Wars movie for the next generation.
I can't wait to come back time and time again.
This is the way.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, is this the way? Do you think this is a successful marketing campaign from Lucasfilm? All the stuff we've been covering. What say you?
I mean, if they're trying to market to families, I don't know why they didn't have any more kids reactions.
That's what I've wondered.
They seemed all like adults that weren't grown up. many of the people tried to be nice, but
this is my assessment. Yes.
Yeah. It seemed like they were marketing towards a specific demographic, which
I
is
I don't understand
your
how
mom's basement.
I don't understand how that demographic can sustain a Star Wars film. I don't understand why there's not, you know, family after family of 12-year-old little boys with mom and dad, you know, raising their lightsaber in there and saying, I love Star Wars. Like, that's what I would do. I don't understand why they're not doing that. Makes no sense.
Probably because the people that are going to go are going to be those exact people. And then they're just not going to, I don't know. I have a lot of friends with families, you know, I've got kids and I don't really know anyone that's excited over Star Wars.
We need to get that fixed. They need to fix that because this was a cultural thing that they slayed and it should not have been. Lauren, I'm going to turn it to you for the final question. Are you ready?
Sure.
Chances that we now see Luke or Leia or Han or anybody from the original trilogy in this movie?
I'm thinking no, actually. I think it would have been wise for them to try to do so. But I'm still not thinking that it's going to be that kind of movie. I think it's kind of what people have speculated, and it's going to be a self-contained, small adventure, relatively low stakes. I have been going back through the original seasons of all the shows just to get caught up before the movie comes out, so I've done my research. I have a little bit more insight, I think, into how they can split some things off, so there is some potential for some of that with the storyline that they're pursuing. But I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on that yet. I think they're still.
What are they waiting for? I mean, we're at the precipice of the death of the franchise. I mean,
they are, but I think they wanted to see, can you continue forward with the Mandalorian as a verse? Remember, Jon Favreau had that meeting with Dave Filoni this week. There was also the meeting with Disney corporate leaders that we talked about. And I think that's when they're actually making the decisions. I think that looking at the box office projections of this movie, they have made their determination now, but they didn't do that before the movie came out. And so I suspect that the Mandoverse is likely dead. Now the question is, what are they going to do next?
Yeah, I mean, the latest box office projections, they've increased the first weekend. They're at now, I think now they're saying it's 90 to 100. Maybe it was lower. Maybe the floor was lower than 90. But the latest projections, 100 is the ceiling for the Memorial Day weekend. And the problem is they've dropped the hold on it. So they're now estimating it's got a 2.25, which is horrendous.
60 to 70 is what I'm expecting. I don't think it's going to do any more than that.
Well,
do you think they are aware of like the audience that they lost when they got rid of Gina?
Because I think
that's when I stopped watching. I was watching everything.
I think they resent that audience, a large part of them. Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious. I'd be curious what the number of the drop off was. Cause to me, that was the point where I was like, I'm just done. And I wouldn't even play, even when Mandalorian was requested to play the tune, I was like, I don't even want to play the tune anymore. I was so like, just done with it at that point.
Let me throw an audacious number out there and you all see what you think. I'm going to say 70%. I'm going to say 70% exited after Mando season two. And maybe it wouldn't be that high. Maybe Gina didn't push it to 70, but season three sure did.
Well, that's actually a point I wanted to make, which is that I think it depends on how you're counting that 70%. If you're saying when they let Gina go, they hit that 70%, or are you talking about 70% of what they had left of people who had left before they got rid of Gina? There's a couple of different things here. One of the things that was blatantly obvious to me going back through all of the Mandalorian, I've watched it all, Mandalorian seasons 1, 2, and 3, Book of Boba Fett, everything leading up to the movie. It's so painfully obvious in season 3 of The Mandalorian that the mandate was, we got rid of the strong female character that we did not like, but it will be completely unacceptable not to have a strong female character, but it's going to be our strong female character. And that is exactly why The Mandalorian became the Bo-Katan show in season 3. They contrived such a convoluted way to break their own rules that they had already established in order to make her the strong character that leads her people back to Mandalore to retake it and to become the Mandalore. They had already described why that sequence of events could not occur. They had to contrive an entirely unrealistic way to pass the Darksaber to her. It's nonsense. But it was because, to them, a Star Wars show without a strong female character was completely unacceptable, and they jettisoned the one they didn't like.
And ultimately, folks, what are we trying to say with this entire segment? Of course, go out and buy Mandalorian Grogu Force Throw Cologne at Bath & Body Works. You got to have it today. The ladies will go gaga over Grogu on you.
Well, folks, we've come to the end of another video of pure excellence and fun. Explaining entertainment, keeping you ahead of the culture curve, that's what we hope you believe we've just done. And why should you believe it? Well, because we've done our very best to make it so. To be true, to be factual, and to do what the mainstream, so-called access journalists simply won't. Folks, you can help share this out across the fruited plains of YouTube by clicking the like button. Share, subscribe, click it, stick it to the algorithms. It is the notification bell. Drop a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts. And folks, as we get ready to say sayonara for now, we ask that you keep learning, keep growing, and wherever you are and whatever you're doing, keep having fun.